So how many of you are big fans of the scrapbook? Anybody a big fan of the scrapbook? Like two of you. You're excited, the two of you, but that's great. The rest of you are losers. Perfect. That's great. Well, I have a scrapbook here, one of the old ones from when Amy and I first got married and all kinds of stuff going on here. I just love a scrapbook. Scrapbooks are, by the way, if you're under 30 and you don't know what a scrapbook is, let me help you just a little bit. Back before we had phones that you did more than talk on, they would take pictures. It was real archaic. You had a camera, and you'd take a picture, and it put it on film, and you had to go to the drugstore, and like, you know, 6 weeks later, you get these pictures back, and four of them had your finger across it, and you didn't know that at the time, so you paid for that. It's a whole process. Anyway, they would put them in these books where you'd keep them all, and this will take you back if you know it. The books all had a particular sound they'd make. Like, you remember the sound? Like, it just, and there's a smell to it. I don't know if it came from the drugstore with the smell or if that was added in with the pictures. I don't know how that works, but there's a smell to it. And this picture, so on Fridays often, families would sometimes gather around. I know it sounds pitiful when you say it out loud like this, but they would gather around with all these books, like lots of these books, and grandma would come over. And like when I was growing up, our Aunt Shirley would come over, and it was a big popcorn. Now, don't feel too bad for us. Today, we do the same thing. We just like binge Netflix or look at TikTok or something on our phone. But in those days, you'd get these books out, and you would go through these books, and you would see old memories and all that stuff. One of our older ladies this morning said, I think she had all these at her house, you know, and I said, you should make your family get them all out this afternoon, look at every one of them. So they're all hating me right now, but it's fine. It's a good story. So I said, you know, you do those, and you look back at all these things, and the kids are always confused because grandma's like 17 in the picture, and they don't understand that because grandma's right there, but 17, I don't understand. Anyway, it's just a big time, and I think scrapbooks are pretty cool stuff. So I'm going to just, we'll cover them in just a minute. I'm going to sit the kids over here, and we can talk about scrapbooks in just a minute, but we'll just leave that right there. So today's a big day. Dane told you that today is Resident Sunday. You may not have known that likely when you got up this morning. Probably weren't hopping out of bed thinking, man, Resident Sunday, I'm so excited. But today's a big day in our church. Today's a big day in their life. But today will be a big day in your life if you'll let it, because you're going to have an opportunity to connect and have your paths kind of cross with some pretty amazing young leaders. And so I want you to be sure you're taking that opportunity, not just today, today's just a kickoff, but like over these next months, that you have an opportunity to be a part of that and to get that, because they've chosen to answer the call to stick with the theme of the month. They've chosen to do that, and we want to honor them for that. Now, before we get into that, I want to tell you an old story from the Old Testament. So there was a guy back in the Old Testament part of the Bible, the first half of the Bible, by the name of Elimelech. And Elimelech was married and had two boys. And so they moved from their home area to a different area and started to kind of reset up their life. And that's pretty common today, but in those days that was a more rare deal. And so they moved to a new area, started setting up their life. And the two boys got married as they grew up. And so you have Elimelech and his wife and his two boys and their two wives. And then Elimelech dies. We don't know details about that, but he dies. And so his wife was left with her two sons and two daughter-in-laws, and then in a short period of time, a few years later, each of his two sons pass away. We don't know details about that. Was it an accident or some sort of sickness? We don't really know. But they both died. So now you have Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws living there together. Now, in our day, that's really tragic as far as just emotionally and grief and all that. But in those days, there was also a whole poverty thing that it's true now, but it's even more true then, where if you were a lady, especially an older lady, you couldn't provide for yourself. There just wasn't an opportunity for that. And so these three ladies were in desperate financial straits. And there wasn't the safety nets that we have today, and there wasn't opportunities for women then like there is now. And so this is a really serious deal. And so Naomi, the mother of the two sons who died, the two daughter-in-laws, said to the two daughter-in-laws, you don't need to feel stuck with me. Like, I'm in a tough spot. But you don't need to be in a tough spot. You go back home to your parents, to your families. You find new husbands. I'll be fine. You just go do what you need to do. And so the one daughter-in-law said, okay. And she hugged Naomi, and they had a parting, and there's tears, and it was sad. And then she went back home to her family. And we don't know what happened to her, but assumedly she found a husband and got married and had a family and all of that. But the other daughter-in-law, by the name of Ruth, said, I'm not going to do it. And in chapter 1, verse 16, she replied to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you, for where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. your people will be my people and your God my God. Now, that was a speech from a daughter-in-law to a mother-in-law, but we've used it in weddings ever since. Like, this is a common passage in weddings that you hear. Although it probably wasn't, you probably didn't hear it in a wedding like that. You probably heard it in the old King James. The old King James says, "Entreat me not to leave thee." Sounds very Shakespearean, you know? Or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest. That's the line, that's the memorable. Whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And actually, somewhere along the line, somebody put that statement to music. And I've heard that in a few weddings. How many of you have heard that song, old hymn, in weddings? Nobody in this service. Well, okay, go ahead. I thought I was in trouble for a minute. No, first service, crickets. Nobody had ever heard that song before. But when I had that verse on my screen in my office, I got that song stuck in my head and then sang it in my head for like the next 2 hours, which is not something you want to do. But now you guys are going to do it, and you're welcome for that. So that'll be in your head, and you can remember. I knew at least my mom would have heard it before, so she'll watch this later and remember this song, the old song. And so Ruth says, I'm committed to you, Naomi, and Naomi is committed to Ruth, and they're both committed to God, and God chose to bless them for that. It was a pretty powerful deal. She took great personal sacrifice, great personal risk, and said, I'm gonna stick with you no matter what. And Ruth was faithful to Naomi, and Naomi was faithful to Ruth, and they were both faithful to God, and God was faithful to them. Now, before we go to the next thing, I want to say to you that no matter what spot you're in today, that's true for you too. You know, one of the great things the Old Testament does is give us lives of people who are walking with God. It does more than that, but it gives us lives of people who are walking with God, and it shows God's interaction with them. You can't always see God's interaction with you. You don't know always what God's up to, but because you see their life in a snapshot in a few pages, you're able to see not only their side, but often see God's side. And what I want you to know is these two ladies were in deep emotional pain from relationships that didn't go the way they thought, from loss that they weren't expecting, from financial hardships that they didn't feel like they deserved. And some of you know what some or all of that feels like right now, because you're also grieving, or you're also hurting from a relationship that didn't go the way you planned, or you're also in financial straits, or your career's not going the way you thought, or this, and you know how they feel. And they remained faithful to each other, and they remained faithful to God, and because of that, God remained faithful to them, and he'll remain faithful to you too. And I need you to know that. That's not what the message is about today, but I can't go past it until I go to that, because I know some of you are exactly in those spots, and you need to know that God's going to stay with you just like Ruth stayed with Naomi, just like God stayed with both of them, because God blessed them, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, I need to bring out our residents. So we're going to put the scrapbook on the shelf, put Ruth and Naomi on the shelf for a minute. We'll come back to them. I need to bring out the residents, and we'll make it all tie together. So right now, if you could see behind this wall, which you can't, they're standing there nervously trying to figure out when's he going to call us out, because it's going to happen in a minute. But I'm taking this opportunity to tease with them and kind of wait until they don't know when I'm going to call. So last year, I told you, when we kicked off the residency program last year, I said this, we didn't know who would anybody apply for this or not. Our residents usually stay 7 months or sometimes a full year. Same is true this time. And we didn't know, will people be open to this? Will they be helpful to us? Will it be great for us? And last year, I told you, we had a phenomenal group of residents. Now, I really liked last year, Dane, who you just saw, and Noah. The third resident was a little shaky, but I loved the first two. And so we loved having them here. And I said, I don't know that we can clear that bar. Like those three were great. At least two were great. And I don't know that I can clear that bar next year. And so we started recruiting, not knowing what we were going to get. And I was even beginning to kind of prepare people. All right, so like our elder team, or finding, like, okay, they're probably, you know, I don't know. Last year's great. This year, it'll be good. But I think we've cleared it again. Like these three are phenomenal. And you're going to pick up on that, but you don't know it yet. You're just trusting me on that. So I want to bring them out, and I want you to let them know, because they're maybe a little nervous, just how much you appreciate them not only being here, but being here. Because they're committing their lives to not just God, as a lot of us have done, but they're committing their life to the local church, to serving people, to bringing the gospel. And they're really talented and have lots of other options. And that's a big deal. So I want us to honor them for that. So would you help me honor them for that as we bring them out? 2022 residents, come on out. So So this is the group. This is them, and we wanted to get a chance to let them introduce themselves to you. So Carly is up first. Carly has been with us part-time since January. She's a student at Lipscomb and has been with us part-time. But now starting this summer, she'll be full-time all summer. Carly, introduce yourself to them.
Yeah, so I'm Carly. I am a now junior at Lipscomb University. My major is theology and ministry, and then I have a family science minor. I'm from Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is like an hour from here. What else? I'm working with the children's ministry, and it's been fantastic. I answered the call to come. Don't know if I regret it yet, but so far it's been really great. So,
you may not know, because some of you are newer to the church, the longer you get to know us, the more disappointing we are, and that'll be true for them too. So that's great. We have a question for each of them. So the question for Carly is, one of the amazing things about being in ministry is how the legacy of one minister begins the journey for another. Who is someone in ministry that has influenced you and why?
So for me, I didn't necessarily grow up super involved in the church, really didn't grow up in the church at all. And so when I first started going to church in eighth grade, I was introduced to what a minister was, and I really had no idea, so it was a clean slate. And I soon realized that they were awesome. And so when I went to a new church freshman year, I started talking to this woman who was a children's pastor at the time at that church. And although I hadn't been with her as a kid, she kind of took me under her wings, and I interned at the church, interned with her. And she just really poured into me and influenced me, not just in the ministry side of things, but also in the personal life kind of things. And so the first thing she did is she made it really clear that I was worthy of being loved and that I was seen, and that was a really cool thing, and that was a good thing. And I just hadn't believed that until that part of life. And I think we all have someone that did that for us, or a time when we realized that, and it's really powerful. And so she showed me that, and she showed me that I wasn't just loved because I'm worthy of being loved in the world, but because I'm created by a God who is love, and I'm created in God's image, and that we're all image bearers of that. And that just gave me so much just empowerment and confidence to walk in the life God's called me to. So that was huge. Second thing she did is she really called out my gifts and took some time to intentionally invest in the younger generation, which was me at the time, and well, it still is. but she really just showed me that, I don't know, that my gifts were with children, and I didn't realize that before. And so I was just planning on going into ministry, and she just kept encouraging me and saying, like, look at this, like, very gently, you're good with kids, like, maybe this is where you're going to go. And so that's why I'm here. Thankfully for her, I realized I was here. And she showed me through both of those things that the role of a minister isn't to have all the right answers. It isn't to know all the Bible stories or pull out scripture when people need it, even though that's helpful. But it's to love people. And I can do that. I think we all can do that. And it's not just the job of a minister paid by a church, but also just people in their daily life ministry. So that was really powerful for me.
For sure. Let's tell Carly how excited we are for her to be here. Sure. Next up is Gabe. So Gabe, take a second to, he just graduated from Johnson University, so take a second to introduce yourself. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
You get an extra clap. That's pretty good.
I know.
He hasn't really deserved that yet. I mean, later maybe, but not.
I worked 4 years.
Yeah, that's right. Class. Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm Gabe. I just graduated from Johnson University, as he said. I have a preaching and youth ministry degree and also a family studies minor. So we made it through the 4 years. I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, so I went to school in my own backyard just down the road. The time change kind of mixed me up a little bit. I forgot about that as I came over here. But I'm super glad to be here. I've enjoyed my time at Johnson, and now I'm actually moving into graduate school. So I'll be doing getting a master's degree for the year while I'm here. I'm getting into strategic ministry. So I'm ready to enjoy the time here.
Yeah, so I didn't mention, I don't think, a minute ago. Sure. Let's, thank you, Don. Helps out. He deserves it. I figured he already had a second clap. I wasn't going to give him a third one, but that's fine. So I don't think I mentioned, Carly was here part-time from January till now. She's full-time over the summer.
I put up with him long enough.
What?
You long enough.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And then she'll be back at Lipscomb part-time in the fall. Gabe, starting now full-time, will be here until next May full-time. So that's exciting. So Gabe, your question, I believe, is what area of ministry are you serving in for the residency, and why that area?
Yeah, so I'll be working with Rob and with students. I don't know which one comes first there, but I'll be working with students. And so I've always enjoyed that. I grew up as a preacher's kid. My dad, he started as a youth minister, And so that's what I studied, what I wanted to go into. I found that I love working with kids, with middle school, high school age. I think it's such a kind of like a, it's a spot where you're maturing a lot and you're learning a lot as a person. And so when I was younger, my youth minister really poured into me at that time, and he had a big impact on my life. And so I want to be able to have that impact on other people as well. So just through my old youth minister that I had growing up, they kind of pushed me in that direction, and it's something that I haven't regretted yet. I've loved working with students, and so I'm looking forward to doing it here. And as I understand, we get to have fun snacks and play fun games. So that's really the reason I'm here, let's be honest.
I love that he just said, I haven't regretted it yet. That's a pretty pregnant word there. That's good. Yet. That's still coming. Okay, good. We're excited to have Gabe here. We've already clapped for him like three times. I'm not doing it again. That's fine. Too much for Gabe. That's four. I think it's the game winner. They've not clapped for me that much in 18 years. That's a whole separate issue. All right, so Hannah here on the end. Hannah is with us as well, another student from Lipscomb. You want to take a second to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so hey, y'all. I'm Hannah, and like Pastor Andy just said, I am going to be a junior at Lipscomb in the fall. I have a major that I'm working on in worship arts, and so while I'm here at Wellspring, I'll be here full-time in the summer, and then part-time later on, I'll be working with both the worship area of serving and then also with the youth as well. So I'm kind of doing like a split dual residency here, which is really exciting.
Awesome. Good to have you guys here. And her question for us is, you have a fresh perspective and youth on your side, which I think from Melissa was a dig at my age. I'm not sure. I think she's saying I'm old. That's how I'm taking it. As people who will be influencing churches for this next generation, what is the hope you have for the local church?
Yeah, so this question goes along well with what the Lord has put in my heart recently. I've just felt a stirring kind of within like generational cycles in the church where it's like you as an individual, you will always be looking towards someone to grow from, whether that be a parent or a mentor. But then there's always going to be someone looking to you as well in that same way. And so while you're learning from someone, you're also teaching someone as well, and it's this continual cycle in the church. And so in Matthew 28, I think the Great Commission is really just a good passage that we can look at to kind of see what direction Jesus gave us with those generational cycles in the church. And so he says, you know, go and make disciples. And so the going part of that is getting out, and whether that means, you know, if you're called to mission work outside of the country, that's amazing. But for a lot of us, our going is going to be getting out of our comfort zone and going to serve in your community, in the church, in the area where you have been planted. And so just recognizing your areas of influence there and serving in those ways. And then also making disciples. That is where you have an interpersonal relationship with someone. And it's not trying to train them to be like you, but instead having them grow in the ways of the Lord, and you want to shape them to have the characteristics of God. And so I think looking at those two areas right there, I think that's something that I'm excited to see the local church grow in.
Very cool. Very cool. This is a special group, and you'll get to know that over these next months. I think they're far more poised and articulate than I was when I was their age. Possibly more poised and articulate than I am right now. That's a whole separate topic. But they're great, and you're gonna really appreciate getting to know them. It's not just us helping them, but they're really going to help us, and they've already done that with me, which is great. I do think that they deserve something from us. You know, they've committed to give their life, not only to Christ, they've committed to give their life to service in the local church, to helping people, to leading people, to spreading the gospel. And so the Bible says they deserve our respect, they deserve our honor. You can't do all of that here in this setting because we're all just here in this one room, but would you just make a down payment on that and just let them know today how much you appreciate them being here? Would you thank them for being here as they go on out? Fantastic. Okay, so you may be wondering, I would be if I were you at this point, why did I come out here and start talking about scrapbooks? Why did I come out here and start talking about Ruth and Naomi if we're going to be introducing them? How does that all go together? Does it all go together? What are we talking about here? And let me show you just a little bit of that. So Ruth's story, if you don't know Ruth and Naomi's story, you have Naomi, who is the mother-in-law to Ruth, and they were there together. And then Ruth married a guy named Boaz. You can read this story later in the book of Ruth. Has her name on it in the Old Testament. She marries a guy named Boaz, and they have a son, and they name him Obed. And then Ruth 4:16, there's only four chapters in the book, so you can read it quick. Ruth 4:16 says, then Naomi, the mother-in-law, the grandma of Obed, took Obed in her arms, and she cared for him. And Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. So in the family tree, you have Naomi to Ruth, to Obed, to Jesse, to David. And then right after that, in verse 18, you have David's genealogy, which seems kind of out of place for a story about Ruth. And then the book ends very abruptly. And if you don't know this whole story of the Bible, you're reading along and you're like, okay, this out of place story about Ruth. We don't know who she is. We don't know who Naomi is. She's kind of this random person. And then we're reading along the story about them. And then it switches to David. And then the story's over. Like, why is that story even written? And lots of scholars think that, and then David, who became the greatest king of Israel's history, and then later Jesus came through David's lineage. David's a big deal, both in Judaism and in Christianity. And most scholars think that the book of Ruth was only written because of David. Ruth's great-grandson, Naomi's great-great-grandson. And it's possible that the only reason we've ever heard of Ruth is not because of her faithfulness to Naomi, although that was notable, but because of David. If it hadn't been for David, we may not have even heard of Ruth. We may not have even heard of Naomi or Elimelech. The only reason you've ever heard someone sing, "Whither thou goest, I will go," is because of David, Ruth's great-grandson. And so it's quite possible that the most important thing Ruth ever did in her life was not be kind to Naomi, although that's big, was not be faithful to God, although that was important. It's possible that the most important thing Ruth ever did was take care of her son Obed, who took care of his son Jesse, who took care of his son David, who became the king of Israel, who gave us the lineage that led to Jesus. So maybe the most important thing Ruth ever did was give the world David. Now that's important to me because that means we don't really know how to calculate our impact on the world. Because Naomi probably never even met David this side of heaven. So when she died, she didn't yet know the biggest thing her life ever produced. And so later they would write this book with Ruth's name on it so we would all know the impact. But this side of heaven, she didn't know the impact. And yet maybe the most important thing she did was to give the world David. Maybe the most important thing Wellspring will do this year is give the world one of these three amazing people, or maybe all three of them, who will one day, from hindsight, will look back and say, wow, look what they did to change the world, and we were a small piece of it this year. I mean, it's possible, we don't know this side of heaven, it's possible that we'll look back at the history of Wellspring total, and the most important thing we ever did was this year in their life because of the impact they're going to make, which far exceeds anything we ever do. I mean, maybe that's the most important thing we want to do. I want us to invest in them. I want us to love them. I want us to support them. It will bless them, certainly, but it will also bless us, and it will also be in the scrapbook that we'll look at in heaven of the impact we made. Maybe a big chunk of that scrapbook will be something they've done long after they've been here because of the time we invested in them while they were here. That may be the most important thing we ever do. And that's pretty mind-blowing. I mean, I think the message of Ruth, the message of that book of Naomi's life, is to live your life for more than this moment. If you and I would live our life for more than this moment, we would invest in our families with our great-great-great-grandkids in mind. Children that you won't meet this side of heaven, but the way you set up your family, the legacy that you begin, the scrapbooks that you start filling will lead to great impact in your great-great-great-grandkids' life, and maybe they're the ones who will change the world, not you. If you would live our life with more than this moment in mind, we would invest in these three amazing leaders. If we lived our life with more than this moment in mind, we would invest in every student and every child that comes through these doors both on Sunday morning down that hallway and on Wednesday night throughout the whole building and on trips and everything. We would invest in them even more than we already do because we know that one of them, or maybe multiples of them, will impact the world far more than we ever will. But our small piece in their life is part of the legacy that we're building, that God's building through us. It's living for this life for more than this moment. If we live our life for more than this moment, we would get our own spiritual houses in order. You know, the reality is we don't know when things will end for us. We don't know when things will end for this world. Jesus said he didn't even know the time and date, but he said you should pay attention to the signs. And I think a lot of us are nervous about things going on around the world. A lot of us are nervous about the disruptions over the last several years. I think it's easy to say, man, something seems a little unhinged. And the Bible says all of that should drive us to get our spiritual houses in order, to make peace with God, to be right with God, and to get our eyes fixed on what matters most so that we can invest in the things that have the biggest impact long term. And we're so distracted by so many things, some sinful, lots of them not, but we're distracted by them. And it keeps us from investing in what matters most. The Bible says that Jesus lived his life for more than this moment. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. So consider Jesus, him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and you will not lose heart. The world needs us, followers of Jesus, to not grow weary. The world needs us to not lose heart. And the world needs us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the most important person to ever live. I mean, if you don't know him, you need to, it's hard sometimes in America because there's so much in our culture that has echoes of Jesus, so much in our culture where we see his fingerprints and we don't even know it. I think Benjamin Franklin said those things or whatever, but it's all from Jesus. He's impacted our culture in ways we don't even fully understand. But the Bible says that he came to the world fully God, but in a person's body. And he wasn't raised in privilege, and he wasn't raised in opulence. He was raised in poverty by parents who struggled to put food on the table. So he understands everything we've been through. He understands everything we face. And then he became an adult who taught these amazing things and healed people and loved people and completely shifted Western civilization forever. And then he died, not for his mistakes, but for ours. And if that was the end of the story, that would be enough. The wise things he said, the sacrificial death he offered, that would be enough. But he did more than that. 3 days later, he came up out of the ground alive again, defeating death, defeating grave, defeating sin, defeating all of it, so that you and I could be free. So that you and I could start a scrapbook of legacy in the first place. And now the Bible says he wants us to fix our eyes on him, to live our life for him, because he's what matters most. And if you know him, but have gotten distracted, and that happens to all of us, I think today should be a time to say, man, I want to live my life with the next and next and next generation in mind. And I want to challenge you to do that. If you're not sure if you believe in him, and I know every week we have people here who are trying to figure that out. I'm so glad you're here. I want to be able to show him to you. The reason they're going into ministry is because they want to be able to show the world how to follow Jesus, and we want to do that for you. And some of you may be here like Ruth and Naomi, and you've been through a stretch that's more than any one of us deserve. And you're wondering why there's so much loss and pain and hardship in your life, and you're wondering if God's going to see you through. And I want to say to you, he will. And we'll come around you like family, just like Ruth and Naomi were to each other. We'll be that for you, and we'd love to come alongside you in your hurt. Let's pray and then invite God into that part of our life. Would you pray with me together? God, I'm grateful that you are here for us when we're hurting. You're here for us when we're on top. You're here for us when we're confused. God, I thank for Jesus who came and lived and died this amazing life and then rose again from the dead to set us free. I thank you for these three amazing students and the ones down the hallway who are going to impact the world long after we're gone, and the opportunity you give us just a moment to cross paths with them and invest a small piece into their life and story that will ripple for eternity. And I pray that you would help us to do that well with this season we have. And I pray for anybody here who feels a little disconnected from you, maybe because of their own distraction, maybe because of their sin, maybe because of their doubts, maybe because of their pain. They feel a little disconnected from you. And maybe today would be a day where they can cry out from faith or cry out from just sheer will that they need you and they want you in their life. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. So I pray for that moment. I pray for this season you've put us in. And I pray in the name of Jesus.